Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The gospel which we have just read, my dear faithful, gives to the apostles Peter, James, and John, and by extension to us also, a foretaste of our true home, heaven, the land of the living, where the Lamb is the lamp. Heaven is God's home and ours as well. Why? Because according to our catechism, we learn that God made us to know him, love him, and serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. This next, just mentioned, is heaven. When I was a young boy, my brother and I usually had the duty of throwing away our trash in a place not far from where we lived. The area was developing, so there were different sand quarries around. Some were used as dumping grounds. To get to any of these quarries, one had to go through very bad roads. Some spots on the way had quicksand. I remember once falling into one such spot. I thought that was the end of me. As it is typical with quicksand, the more I tried to come out, the more I sank. I finally got saved by being pulled out by my brother or the friend who was with me that day. You and I, my friends, often enough in life, end up in this quicksand. Jesus, who is our friend, is the one who pulls us out. He does so as a friend. He does not just pull us out of the quicksand to stand amidst garbage. Surely this is not worthy of a friend. Our divine friend calls us to heaven, his home. He does not want us to be scandalized by all that is going on around us, his church bereft of a visible head, as it were in the catacombs, a world where so many of his children, whom he has redeemed with a great price, are still attached to the once Catholic structures, empty of the true faith. No, he shows to us his holy face to strengthen us, just as he showed it to his apostles to encourage and strengthen them, so that they may not be scandalized in him when they see him undergo his bloody passion. When I look to heaven, St. Ignatius says, how vile earth becomes. If tribulations are to be endured, the voice of Christ, our friend, infuses strength, constancy, and joy. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. St. Thomas Aquinas observes that one of the indispensable marks of friendship is that a friend shares his belongings with friends, taking care of his friend as he would take care of himself. Is not this what our Lord did when he nailed our sins to the cross? For as the great theologian and mystic Father Garrigou Lagrange said, Jesus did much more in the 3 hours that he remained on the cross than he did in the 3 years of public life. Commenting on the transfiguration, St. Thomas says that Christ wished to be transfigured to show to his apostles and by extension to us also his glory in order that he may arouse us to desire it. A friend shares with others the things that are his. This is the reason why St. Peter exclaimed to our Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. He understood indeed at that moment who our Lord was and what he was showing to them. His face shining as the sun and his garment white as snow. St. Augustine remarks concerning the transfiguration that just as our Lord fasted for 40 days, so also did Moses and Elias. Why did our Lord choose to be in the midst of those who fasted for 40 days, you may ask? Is that what friends do? The path to heaven, to this glory which our Lord wants to share with his friends, is narrow, difficult even, but with love, love of whom? Love of him who has loved us first, we shall be able to attain it. St. Gregory says, if the labor terrifies, the reward invites. The sufferings of this time, writes St. Paul to the Romans, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our Lord desires that we be with him forever in heaven. Heaven, what is heaven? Heaven is God's home, as none of us has seen God as he is, which is impossible in this mortal life. We can say nothing in comparison to what heaven really is. For as St. Paul said, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for them that love him. Heaven is the mansion of God. Magnificent is the earth, which God has prepared as a habitation for men, but it is only God's footstool. Magnificent are the temples and altars of the Lord, but these are only a gate to heaven. Great are the palaces of the kings of this world, but they are only the home of mortals, not of God. Heaven is the place or state of perfect happiness. Happiness comes from complete union with the one we love. This perfect happiness or supernatural beatitude consists in sharing the very beatitude of God, that beatitude whereby he rejoices in knowing himself and loving himself for all eternity. Notice the expression in the parable of the talents, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This means, take part in my own beatitude. We are called to see God as he sees himself and to love him as he loves himself. Truly, the depth of our will is such that only God, seen face to face, can feel that depth and draw the soul irresistibly. Experience itself attests that no earthly good is able to satisfy our will. Just the desire for eternal happiness is not enough without God's help, because the attainment of eternal happiness is beyond our natural strength or ability. We are not to depend on our own strength alone. Why? Because Jesus, our friend, has pulled us out from the quicksand of sin when he shared his grace with us in baptism. This grace of God elevates us to the supernatural order, for grace is indeed the seed of glory. And this seed tends of its own accord to its final development. From this viewpoint, our desire is intended to reach its goal, and does in fact reach it, if only we do not refuse to respond to the divine appeal. This desire proceeding from grace, which is second nature to the soul, is continually renovated in us by the word of the Savior. Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find. It is this desire which St. Augustine expresses when he says, thou hast made us, O Lord, for thee, and our soul is restless until it rests in thee. What do all these show but that Jesus, our friend, desires that we come to him, for he made us and redeemed us for himself? You know, during the solemn hymns like today, incense is used at different times. Here at St. Gertrude, different kinds of incense are used at those times. We are like the torrible and the charcoal before it is lit, cold, ungrateful, wretched sinners. Then God's divine love comes down like a fire to burn us, to detach us from our unruly passions and from the allurements of the world. Why? To attach us to God like the incense that goes up to him. Notice also that the hotter the charcoal, the more it glows, glowing like the holy face of our Lord, which the apostles beheld in today's gospel. In like manner, our Lord desires our hearts to glow with love, with his love, with that charity wherewith he has loved us. Then when incense is put into the torrible, filled with a hot glowing charcoal, it burns more rapidly and produces, well, a lot of smoke, and a more pleasant odor of sweetness. It savors of heaven. This means the more we let God work in us and through us, the more we are united to him. The more our hearts burn and glow with the love of God, the more pleasing is our incense of prayer, sacrifices, sufferings, and all our good works. When finally our time here below is complete, we, like an eagle, shall fly swiftly to him whom our soul longs for, to the eternal Jerusalem, where there is joy without end. God is the goal of our desires. He is the one whom we shall see without end, whom we shall love without weariness, whom we shall glorify forever without fatigue. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.